Happy birthday to Tom Drummond, who is the bassist for Better Than Ezra. This is perhaps their best known song, Good. He turns 50 years old today, one of two members who have been there from the very start through now, along with lead vocalist Kevin Griffin. The original member is still in the band. And Better Than Ezra, leading to one of my favorite Norm Macdonald jokes on Weekend Update on Saturday Night Live from the mid-90s, when he said, paraphrasing, of course, Better Than Ezra had the big summer hit of the year with their song Good, number one of the charts. Number two of the charts this summer, Ezra. You have to get Norm Macdonald's humor, I think, to perhaps appreciate that. Scott Bertram sitting in for Steve here on the Steve Gruber Show. We're joined on the phone lines now by David Harsanyi from National Review, senior writer there, also author of the fantastic book First Freedom, A Ride Through America's Enduring History with the Gun. David, thanks so much for joining us here on the Steve Gruber Show.
It's my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
The riots and protests will make gun ownership more popular is the piece we'll discuss. Before we get to that, I have to ask at least for your input and take on the St. Louis situation. Mark and Patricia McCloskey, the lawyers who pointed weapons near protesters who apparently had broken into a private area. This was not a public street or a public sidewalk. It was a private street that protesters had gotten into, and now we hear a lot of people who are saying they, of course, the protesters are saying that they were they had the guns pointed at them. What do you make of what we see from those pictures and a video of St. Louis?
Well, I mean, unless some new information emerges, it's clear to me that that's a private area. The fence was broken down. The couple says that, you know, this crowd threatened them, and the police are looking into it. But just sort of conceptually, right, I think it's fine. I wish they had a little better muzzle control, and I wish the woman hadn't put her finger on the trigger, because it's not the way to do those sorts of things. But protecting your property, yourself, is why we have a Second Amendment, or one of the main reasons we have a Second Amendment, and it's completely within the boundaries of the law, I think. So we'll see what happens, but for me, that's what we do. That's why we have guns in this country, to protect ourselves.
Right. I mean, conceptually, as you say, it sort of makes the point of your piece at nationalreview.com. The riots and protests will make gun ownership more popular. They're in an area, again, where they have people on their private property coming through. And you say in the piece, you know, we've gone through some of these arguments. The intellectual and legal justification for restrictions on guns has been exhausted. This crisis and riots may have killed whatever case was left. Why is that?
Well, you can't tell people that you're going to defund the police, you know, as riots are going on and looting, even though I think the media tried to hide a lot of what went on, and murders and cops being shot, etc. You can't have that going on and then tell people that they're not allowed to defend themselves and their family and their property. It's with a massive, but let me take a step back. So most rights you can sort of whittle away, and, you know, free speech, other things that government controls. With guns, poses, you know, the Second Amendment poses a problem because you have actual, a physical thing that you need to take away from people. And I forgot what the number is exactly, but millions of people have bought guns. I think 2.5 new owners have emerged only over the last few months, because they feel, I think, that things are getting out of control and that they're in danger, right? So when you have that many new owners, and then you top, you know, on top of that, you have around 450 million guns, whatever it is, that's not a right that's going to be taken away, I don't think. And and if you keep arguing for less, you know, if you keep arguing that law enforcement is completely incapable of protecting people, that it's actually an abuser, then you have a whole other population that's going to want guns as well. So I think that's the direction that we're headed in.
You write in this piece at National Review, in National Review as well, in the print edition, African Americans can offer a stronger case for the importance of the Second Amendment than any other group in the nation. As we watch some of these protests, you know, I watch the south side of Chicago most specifically. I'm from the Chicago area, and to see some of these areas, you know, around the interstate down 79th Street, just being, you know, strip malls being completely looted. And those are generally, you know, poor African-American neighborhoods. Those are areas where, you know, I certainly would, if I were there, would be wanting my own personal protection that the Second Amendment guarantees.
Absolutely. African Americans, especially in the South after the Civil War, had the best argument for guns of anyone, since the Revolution. They could say that the government had turned against them, that the government was not protecting their rights, the government was coming to take away their rights and to hurt them. Obviously, things aren't as dramatic right now, but the arguments are essentially the same. You have neighborhoods that are sometimes, I don't want to say war zones is too dramatic, but you have murder and looting and things like that. And in Chicago, obviously, you have a lot of violence going on. So people and African Americans who live in poor neighborhoods should be able to defend themselves. And in major cities like Chicago and in Washington, D.C. and elsewhere, it's almost impossible for a normal person to go and get a license for a gun, or to buy a gun. So that is essentially, I just said that it's hard to take the right away, but you can, I suppose, from people who live in urban areas where it's much easier to do.
Do you think that the debate, the words in this Second Amendment debate ever really change anyone's mind, or is it events, whether it be the presidents of the past saying they're looking to ban certain types of weapons, whether it be riots or protests, or on the other side, if people just feel safer, violent crime is down in an area, maybe there is a little less gun ownership. I don't know those numbers particularly, but is it the words or the events that really drive this debate?
Definitely. I think, as with most things, events drive the debate. Obviously, there's going to be an intellectual argument, an argument in the courts. I think all of that's important. That's what I do for a living, right? I make those arguments. I think they're important because the people who change their minds because of events need those arguments, and they're right. So, and they matter because they're our history, and I think the Second Amendment is I know the Second Amendment is an inherent right. You have an inherent right to defend yourself against others and your government. So I think both are true, but events certainly drive it. I know that, for instance, in my personal story, my family, I grew up in New York, in the 70s and 80s, where there was a lot of crime, that event changed my family's mind on the Second Amendment. So I think that that's certainly the case.
David Harsanyi from National Review, where he's a senior writer. You can find his piece, The Riots and Protests Will Make Gun Ownership More Popular, online if you're an NR Plus member, and then also in the print edition as well. I don't know if that's behind the paywall or out from behind the paywall yet, but check it out. And his book, First Freedom, A Ride Through America's Enduring History with the Gun. David, thank you so much for joining us this morning here on The Steve Gruber Show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Appreciate it. David Harsanyi, check out his piece over at nationalreview.com. Come back with Rick Hess from the American Enterprise Institute, resident scholar there. We talk a little bit more about reopening schools. It's not risk-free, but neither is keeping them closed. We've spent a lot of time on this today, and I think we'll spend a lot more time on this week. I just saw, we talked about the American Academy of Pediatrics, their recommendations from last week. A New York Times left-wing liberal columnist today saying the government should treat this as an emergency, that we get schools reopened for in-person learning in the fall. That and more with Rick Hess in a moment. Scott Bertram in for Steve. This is the Steve Gruber Show.
Or maybe I'm just too frightened.
Hey, parents. It's hard to pick up your kids nowadays without embarrassing them.
Hi, honey.
Not in front of my friends.
Well, kiss the embarrassment goodbye with OMGPS. OMGPS is a state-of-the-art navigation system that tells you exactly how far away you need to park when you pick up your kids.
Keisha at mall. Proceed to outer food court.
But she's not at the food court. She's at the movie theater.
Exactly. OMGPS comes with patented preteen reasoning technology to pinpoint precise pickup locations and minimize embarrassment.
In 100 yards, turn off the oldies music.
Thanks, OMGPS.
OMGPS is not available in stores because it doesn't exist. But that's okay. You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Because kids in foster care don't need perfection. They need you. For more information on how you can adopt, go to AdoptUsKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
You're not wired to have a response to this sound. You're neutral to it. You hear it every time you finish a meal and never feel anything. But if we were able to associate this sound with a new stimulus, save the food, we've achieved pulling a natural response from you. Save the food. Why are we doing this, you may ask? Save the food. Because this ad is trying to change your after-meal behavior through brainwashing. Because food waste costs the average family $1,500 a year. Save the food. Cha-ching. And $1,500 extra is like getting a pay raise. Save the food. Cha-ching.
You're promoted.
Which could pay for your child's braces. Save the food. Cha-ching.
You're promoted.
Check out my braces.
So when you hear this sound, rethink your behaviour. Cook it, store it, share it. Just don't waste it. For tips and recipes, visit savethefood.com. Brought to you by NRDC and the Ad Council.